Good. All right. Good to see you again, as I said before. And as I said before, we're working our way through a topical series, looking at a big overview of the stuff that the Bible has to say about work. The intermediate group are just heading out now. So if there's anyone else here in years 7 and 8 and they want to head out and look at one of these passages with those guys, they're welcome to do that. Just to let you know that's going on. Right. We're going to jump into the sort of second week of looking at the topic of work from the Bible. So let me lead us in prayer as we do. Lord, please, please help us to listen to what you have to say today. Help us to be wise in seeing what the scriptures have to say about work and applying it to our lives, because we would want to be people who are wise with the wisdom you give and who put that wisdom into practice in our lives. So bless us with that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christians do believe that faith in Jesus Christ affects every area of our lives, not just Sundays, but everything, including our work. A friend of mine ran a group for young Christian adults a few years ago, and he heard some of their questions about faith and work, and so I thought I'd share some of those questions that came up. First of all, what defines you as being more than just a good person at your work, or is that enough? How do I authentically translate my relationship with God from Sunday to Monday? Is my faith part of who I am, or is it fully who I am? Is it private or is it public? Is it something I put on or put off? Is it okay to really love my job, even though it may not be perceived as serving God directly? Can God be a part of that? And so what does God want from me when I'm at work? Great questions there, aren't there? Picking up on issues like, what does it mean to be authentically a Christian at work? What's the value of work itself? And that last one, simply, what does God want from me at work? It's a great question to ask yourself. We touched on some of these issues last week when we thought about work in God's world, the kind of big picture that we looked at. We saw that work is good. It's part of humanity's purpose from creation. We saw that work is, at the same time as it's good, it's tarnished and broken because of the fall. Tarnished, broken, there we go. We saw that it does not save us. It's not saving, and yet it is loving. It's a good way to love, and it's part of our future in the new creation. And perhaps out of all of that, there's a lot there. You can always go back and listen to that sermon if you want to get a bit more of an overview of that. But out of all of that, the key thing for us understanding work as Christians is probably that work is a great way to love your neighbor. That's something that sort of is at the heart of the Christian life's view of work. So with that in place, this week, we're going to try and dig a little bit deeper into work and life. Work and life. We'll be thinking about work and life under three headings as we kind of dig a bit more deeper and practically. First of all, something to do. Secondly, something to share. And finally, something more to share. And so we're going to get into that in a second, but just as we do, two clarifiers as we begin. First of all, I said that last week when I say work, I mean an activity or a responsibility that takes up many or even most of our waking hours, that sort of occupation. So it's not just work that you go out to work and earn. There's unpaid work, there's different kinds of work. And again, when I say work this week, that's what I mean. Secondly, I'm thinking about work in the Christian life here. So if you're not a Christian, welcome. It's wonderful that you're here this morning. And I trust this will be a valuable window to you into what life as a person of faith in Christ looks like. Get a wee picture of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, what difference that makes to your work. So I hope that'll be helpful for you, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. Firstly now, work is something to do. Work is something to do. That might seem obvious, but what I mean is it's something we are to do. We saw last week, it's part of God's good creation purpose for us. It's good for us to be active and productive in that way. But also, while it's part of God's good purpose, it's not the whole purpose for us as humans. Work is what I do, it's not what I am. When someone meets us and they ask us, what do you do? We answer with our work, usually. And fair enough, because we spend a lot of our time doing that. However, it's not uncommon for either the question or the answer to have a kind of an undercurrent. what I do is actually the major thing about who I am. You know, I am a builder. I am an engineer. I am a real retail assistant. I'm a stay-at-home mum. I am retired. I am a student. I am a teacher. I am unemployed. And before long, that could become what we start thinking of ourselves as being at the deepest level, the key sort of identifier of who we are. When we think of how others see us, we think of what we do. When we think of what we contribute to the world, we think of our work. And that's only a very short step to our meaning and our value as a person being defined by our work. What I do is what I'm worth, what I contribute. I remember talking a lot to a person some years ago who'd been unable to work for a long time. She had reasons that she hadn't been able to work for a long time. And she often spoke like this. She often said, "Oh, I'm not worth anything because I never contribute anything." And why was that? It was because she couldn't work. And by the same token, if we do work and we do contribute in that way, and maybe if we make a lot of money or we have people working under us, we're responsible for people, then we think, well, we're of great value. We have status. That's what I am. I'm a CEO. I'm a manager. I'm a boss. Our first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes brings out this idea quite strongly. I wonder if you noticed the one that Esther read. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. If you happen to have your Bible still open, that's useful. The writer of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes is searching for meaning in the world under the sun. He keeps saying, under the sun, under the sun. And I think that term under the sun basically means he's looking at the world based on what's in front of our eyes without taking God into account too much for meaning, just sort of what's in front of our eyes. That's under the sun. And chapter 2, verse 4, begins like this. He says, "I undertook great projects." And then he lists the things that he built and did. And it's a very impressive list, isn't it? A great variety of designing and building, gardens, buildings, all kinds of things. That was his work. He's working at a very high level of achievement. He's a high flyer. He also amasses much. Gets lots of things, many things which would be illegal to amass today. But he amasses much. And that's another goal for our work, isn't it? My work allows me to get stuff that I want. Part of the reason I work. So my success in work is partly shown by how much stuff I've got. Well, he got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And down in verse 9, we see just how successful he was. He says, "I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me." If he does say so himself. But seriously, he has attained great career achievement, great wealth, great success. And in his search for meaning, initially it seems like he's gotten somewhere. Because halfway through verse 10, he says, "My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil." So his labor was a reward. He was taking delight in it, a sense of achievement in what he'd done. You know that sense when you step back from a job well done, and you have satisfaction? Look, I did that. We've completed that. I got that done. And yet, he then takes a second and more careful look, more searching look in a way, in verse 11, and this is what he says. "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I'd toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Remember, the big picture in Ecclesiastes is this guy is looking for meaning, for what's really good in life. And initially when he looks at his achievements, it seems pretty good. But then when he takes another look and presses it a bit harder and he lays his need for meaning onto his work, it can't hold up. It becomes meaningless. Its greatness dissolves under too much weight. Ecclesiastes is showing us that when you make what you do into what you are, it won't work. It can't hold up. It's like that damaged cardboard box I talked about last week. It can hold some weight, but this is just way too much weight for it. And the bottom falls out, and it all loses its point. As Christians, we must keep remembering that work is not what we are, it's not what we're about, it's what we do. Our meaning and our value and our identity is centered in something much deeper. Firstly, it's centered in the fact that we're made in the image of God, as all human beings are. And secondly, it's in the fact that we are saved and made God's children by Christ's death and resurrection for us. That's where our meaning lies. That's where our purpose and our value lies. Therefore, work is what we do. It's not what we are. It's a very good thing. And we can enjoy it and take a certain right satisfaction in it. But it's not what we are. It's not our meaning. And if we realize that and we take that seriously, it will shape the way we approach work. Work won't need to be an obsession. In fact, if it is an obsession, we're going to have to ask ourselves some hard questions. Have we slipped into letting work become the heart of our identity? Has it become too much about how we see ourselves? As Christians, we'll work hard, but we won't let work take over all the other important priorities in life, like church, family, relationships. Again, if those other things are starting to really suffer because of how much we put into work, we're going to ask ourselves questions. Because work isn't the center of our identity, if it tries to become the center, we won't let it. So that means we will listen and consider and pray hard when someone who knows us well says, "Do you think you might be working too much?" If someone says that to you, what's your reaction? No, I'm fine. No, work is what you do, not what you are. So you're free to reassess it without feeling threatened. You can bet if your first reaction is no, then you're threatened. So you're free to reassess it. Am I working too hard? Do I need to pull back? Is my work impacting these other areas of life? See, work is what I do, not what I am. If you're a student thinking about your future career, or if you're someone who's starting out new in your career, a young person, as a Christian, you don't have to be bound to stress over every decision you make as if your whole life depends on the outcome of these decisions. Because it doesn't. It's not who you are. Your career will not be who you are. It's not who you will be if you're in Christ. It is important, yes, but it is not everything, which is freeing, isn't it? It's a great thing to learn early in life if you can. There was a nurse from Aussie who worked with dying patients. And in 2009, she wrote a blog post on the 5 biggest regrets of dying people. And it became such a phenomenon that it ended up, she turned it into a book in about 2012. And then it's still been so popular that she put out another edition of it a couple of years ago. So in other words, these are very relevant, real things. The 5 biggest regrets of dying people. And one of the regrets, number 2, was this. "I wish I hadn't worked so hard." And here's the thing. She said every single male patient she ever nursed had that regret. Every single one. And a number of the female patients as well. But every single male. See, they'd missed important things in life because they let work take over. And they look back and they said, "Oh, I wish I just hadn't done that." And surely part of the reason that happens so much in our culture has got something to do with work becoming more than what we do, but actually part of, or too much a part of who we are. Too much a part of how we see ourselves. But this truth, that work is what I do and not who I am, also means that if you can't find work, or you're no longer able to work for some reason, or your time of work has sort of finished, that doesn't mean you lose all your worth or your meaning. It can be very hard when you can't work, as we saw last week. It can be a real loss. But my value is not in my work or in my ability to work. My value is above all in Christ. He is who makes me who I am, a child of God. And work or not, or any kind of work, doesn't change that. Regardless of what kind of work I do, my identity is firm and sure because it's centered in Jesus. Isn't that a great thing? I am who I am in Christ. So what I do, work, is a good thing, but it's not who I am. That's the first thing. Work is something to do. Secondly, work is something to share. We saw quite a bit about this last week. So again, if you didn't hear that, you may want to go and listen. It was tightly tied to the idea that work is a great way to love your neighbor. And it does that by sharing in a number of ways. First of all, again, we saw last week, it's a way of sharing your gifts, the gifts and talents and abilities you've been given. Now, I know you're paid to work, and rightly so. Well, many of you, maybe don't. I know some aren't paid to work when they work at home. But many of us are paid to work. But by being willing to work, especially willing to work hard and use your abilities as well as you can, you become a blessing to your boss and to others who benefit from your work. For instance, if you're a teacher, you give your attention and time at work to those that you're teaching. You really work hard to do that. And you take emotional time and energy to notice who's struggling and support them, to work hard, to be patient with those who are frustrating. I'm sure there's some who are frustrating. If that's what you do, you are sharing your character and your abilities with those people. If you're a laborer and you work hard when the boss's eye is on you and when the boss's eye is not on you, you seek to add whatever you can to the company and their productiveness. And you try to be good to those that you work with, even those who are a bit difficult. And you're honest about your hours and your actions. Thereby, when you do that, you're not just sharing your abilities, you're also sharing the blessings of Christian character. Great way to share, isn't it? If you're retired, thinking of your retirement to use it in service of others as best you can, not just for your own interests. What a great way to be a blessing to others, to use this particular time that you've been given in love. If you are a boss or a manager, really caring for the people under your authority is a way to use your abilities and your privileged position to love others. You've got a great example of that. His name is Jesus Christ. New York pastor Tim Keller gives a good example. He talked to a couple of different people at his church who were non-Christians who'd started coming along to church. And he asked, why have you come to church? And they both said, well, my boss comes to this church. And so therefore I wanted to come along. And Tim Keller said, not everybody whose boss goes to this church wants to come. So what made you want to come? What about your boss made you want to come? And they said this: we've had bosses who took credit for our good work, but we've never had a boss who took the blame for our mistakes. They could see he was different. There was something different about this boss. What was he doing? He was being like Jesus, wasn't he? He was loving those under his care in a particularly Christ-like way, radical way. See, whatever job you're in, whatever role, seeing it as a chance to love others by sharing what abilities, what time, what general kindness and goodness and Christian character that you have, it's a great way to love. It's a great way to share. Now, in some ways, this isn't Christian rocket science, is it? This is just living as a Christian, but doing it at work. Living the way, for instance, the Apostle Peter tells us to do in his first letter. He says, live such good lives among the pagans, among the non-Christians, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is about, what we're talking about, is just seeing your work as a particular chance to do this. To live such a good life by loving your neighbor, sharing your gifts and abilities and your character with them, that they end up glorifying God. And of course, that'll mean whenever you mess up as a Christian, because we do, that you'll act as a Christian in that way too. You'll admit you're wrong. You'll ask for forgiveness. You won't just try and cover it up, because that's what Christians do. That's what we should do. There are many other ways as well of seeing work as a way to have something to share. I touched on the obvious one of giving last week. We talked about it last week. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, you should work with your hands so that you have something to share with others. Be that by giving to charity, giving to church, or giving to those in need around you. You've got something that you can share. See, work is something to share in your abilities and things, and it gives you a chance to have something to share in terms of resources. But also, finally, it's an opportunity for something more to share. We do have abilities and time to share, and work can give us money and resources to share, but as Christians, we have something more. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ to share. And that is the best thing of all to share. Our second reading from 1 Corinthians, which Deborah read for us, the Apostle Paul was talking about the resurrection, the future hope we have of being raised to new life, the hope that we have in Jesus, and the difference that it makes to our lives. We actually did a series on that early in the year, around Easter time. Well, Paul finishes with what must be one of the most magnificent crescendos in all of literature. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now that, not in vain, it's just such a great verse. Great verse. If you're into memory verses, stick that one in your head. That'll do you a lot of good. That not in vain there, at the end, that is an echo, I'm pretty sure, of the meaninglessness or vanity, vainness, that you see in the book of Ecclesiastes we saw earlier. He talked about meaningless, kind of the same idea, vain, vanity, vainness. Paul says, no, not in vain now. Not in vain because of Jesus. But notice the language that Paul uses here. He speaks of giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is work language. But it's talking of the work of the Lord. Most likely, he's got a particular kind of work in mind, our efforts and toil for the gospel, because of the way he uses that language in other parts of 1 Corinthians particularly. So particularly what he's thinking is not in vain. What he's particularly got in mind here is gospel work. Now, I wonder if you're thinking right now, ah, I knew this was coming. The game is up. All that stuff about work being a good in itself, our chance to share and love our neighbors, was just a front. So he gets to here when he says, actually, we should stop working, go to theological college and do some really important gospel work, like the guy with the collar. No, that's not what I'm saying. How could you think that of me? Here's the thing. This labor in the Lord, this work of the Lord, is a particular kind of work, and it is surpassingly important. But who is Paul speaking to as he writes 1 Corinthians? Is he just speaking to professional ministers? No. Is he telling people to leave their normal work so that they can do vocational gospel work? No. He is speaking to all the Christians in Corinth, the workers, the business people, the slaves, the masters, the mothers, the household managers, everyone. And he says, you all, in all you do, give yourself to the work of the Lord, and your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, Paul's view of who does gospel work is very big. It's all these people. And there's an element of it in all they do to build God's kingdom. And that means that all of life presents some kind of opportunity for this. Paul writes this to people like each of you to encourage you to keep on with the work of the Lord wherever you are in whatever ways you can. And that includes seeking to do the work of the kingdom as you go about your everyday occupational work. Do you see yourself as doing the Lord's work where you are? Do you see yourself as a missionary in your work or your what you do with your everyday life? At home, raising kids, at school, in your retirement? Do you see yourself as seeking to live such good lives that you glorify God, as we saw in 1 Peter? And 1 Peter goes on to say, being ready to give a reason for the hope you have. Now, I know there is a danger here. Some of the bosses may be thinking of this. You're not paid to evangelize. You're not paid to share the gospel of Jesus. And there are the occasional Christian who skive off from the work they're supposed to be doing, the stuff they're paid to do, in order to share the message on company time in a way that stops them from working properly. This is the occasional one. But frankly, I doubt that's a problem for many of us. Our problem's usually the other way around, isn't it? And in this country, we are, at least for now, not outlawed from seeking to share the gospel at our workplaces in appropriate ways. So we can see our workplaces as places of potential mission. As we get on with our work as best we can, loving our neighbors, working hard and caring and doing the job we're supposed to do, at the same time we can be open to seeking to share the best and most loving thing of all, Jesus, because he is. He's the best thing we could share with anyone. And in so doing that, we are then laboring in the Lord. What have you ever thought about starting a lunchtime or early morning Bible study with other Christians at work to encourage one another and to see if anyone else wants to find out about Jesus? I've known a number of those that have gone on and that have been really good. Have you ever thought about asking someone to meet up one-to-one to read the Bible just for maybe one lunchtime a week for a couple of months? We've got a little bit of the Gospel of Mark to go through. I've got some great, if you're interested in doing that, I've got a great little sort of summary thing that can take you through the heart of the Gospel of Mark, and I think it's about 8 weeks. What a great thing to do. Someone meet up with someone one-to-one, just say, we'll just do it for 8 weeks. Have you ever thought even beginning here, about trying to bring up Jesus or bring up church in a conversation at work, over the lunch table, around the water cooler, whatever it is? I've said it before. When I was at jazz school, which was my place of work at the time, yes, it was work, they worked as hard. When I was at jazz school, there was a guy called Mark who, in a quiet way, was just open and honest about his faith. And then when I showed a little bit of interest, he invited me to church. And through twists and turns, that became the door for me to enter into faith in Jesus. And Mark was just quietly open and seeking to share Jesus in his everyday work in a quiet way. See, as well as something to share in terms of gifts and abilities, you have something even more to share with your workmates, with your boss, with your kids at home school, with whoever you come into contact with in your work, in your daily life. You have the crucified and risen Jesus to share. And he is something more than the world or any career or anything else can offer our workmates. So as you spend so much of your time working, remember this. As a Christian, your work is rich with opportunity to share and love your neighbor in the way you work, to be a blessing to them, and to seek to share something more as you look to share the message of Jesus with people. You will never regret work that is done in his name and for his sake. So may all of us serve him in all the work we do. Amen.